The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, brought to you by People's Choice Video Express. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are back to recap a few more of our classic crazy escapades.
Yeah, usually we just talk about a movie.
Yeah.
On our list of the highest grossing movies of the 1980s.
That's right.
We've already done most of them. Now we're just going to recap some of the, well, all the episodes, actually.
Yep. So right before we get to our final, the final frontier, if you will,
the final four,
we are going to talk about some of our classic episodes, starting with episode 36, which is Star Trek, The Search for Spock.
Star Trek 3.
Yes.
3. Also directed by Leonard Nimoy.
That's right.
What did it, he directed the first one?
He directed second, he direct no he did not direct the first he directed 3 and 4 if memory serves.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
not the best one though.
And then Kirk came in, or Shatner came in to do 5, which was the worst one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, poor Shatner.
Yeah.
Well, this is the one where they grow a tiny Spock out of the.
That's
like,
right.
Out of a little weird pod.
They grew they grew a baby pod Spock.
Yeah. There's also, they replaced Christy Alley in it.
That's right.
And then
I guess
noticed.
She said no to having sex with teenage Spock.
Yeah. Which there was.
That was a deal breaker.
It. Yeah. Replaced Ricardo Montalban, just an old Hispanic dude who was a bad guy,
mm-hmm.
with Christopher Lloyd.
That's right.
Just an old dude who was a bad guy in this. So we got the very, very thrilling.
Yeah, the ending fight scene.
between a 65-year-old William Shatner and a 72-year-old Christopher Lloyd.
That's right.
Where he kicks him off and almost says that, like, I'll see you in space hell.
Yeah, that's right. Way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very awkward.
We talk a lot about space hell in this episode.
Yeah, not regular hell. Space hell.
Space hell.
Yeah, the sins are different,
too. Exactly.
The torture is different, I feel.
The torture's different. The sins are different. Because now you have to worry about, like, well, no trans warping into your neighbor's wife. You know?
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, man. And I love trans warping into my neighbor's
obviously, wife. If I have a warp drive, or not a warp drive, but the teleporter thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and teleport just my dick inside of my wife's, or my neighbor's wife.
Yeah, obviously. Know? You so. Just, like, position that perfectly.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, let me just get the dick in there. Yeah,
and then it's just like a funny little dude that just pokes out. You know, for her to do with whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Except for the hurdy stuff. No hurdy stuff.
Please, no hurdy
stuff.
In reality, it always, she just freaks out and hits it with a baseball bat, which is not, I mean, it might be your jam. It's not my jam.
It's not really my jam to do that.
Yeah.
If you've seen The Irishman and you've seen Robert De Niro beat up a guy, 84-year-old Robert De Niro
pretending to be. The worst scene in The Irishman, yes.
Pretending to be 32-year-old Robert De Niro beating up a guy when he's clearly 84 years old.
Yeah.
That's kind of the end fight in this thing.
It kind of is. Yeah.
But was it a lava
except for thing? Except for there's like, well, no, the planet's breaking apart.
That's right.
But so there is like lava and stuff exploding and volcano explosions. The only difference is there's like 3 very clearly stunt guys doing like flips in the middle of the fight.
Yeah. Yeah, in the middle of all the like old man moving.
Exactly. So if just in the middle of The Irishman, they would have cut to the wide shot and it would have been like a dude doing like a triple backflip.
Which I kind of wish they would have.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. And I feel like I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's a stunt guy. Cool.
If they just got like the stunt guy from Daredevil to come in and just do one of his like triple flip kicks.
All the way out that ends in like a kick down into the fucking pavement.
Yeah, that'd been pretty amazing.
I would have been like, oh, cool, a stunt guy. Instead, mm-hmm. I was just like, ah, Robert De Niro.
You're old now.
Yeah. He's so old. Hey, don't make him beat up a guy.
Yeah.
He's so old now. His bones are breaking apart. it also had a weird, the Genesis machine.
Yeah, so the Genesis project that was just introduced in part 2, which can recreate, you know, it's the book of Genesis. It's creating life from nothing.
Yeah, and that's how they bring our little baby Spock back.
Yeah, and that's where you meet Kirk's ex and his son.
That's right.
And then this movie actually, despite the many criticisms it may receive, has some great Shatner.
I would say it has the best, I think the best Shatner performance from... Probably
this and number 2 are both really good Shatners. Yeah.
Number 2, I mean, is a better movie, but I think Shatner's thing with his son and everything like that.
It's really good.
It is. It's really good. Yeah. So we actually liked it. This is also an episode where we didn't remember much of Star Trek.
Right.
Like Emma had never seen a Star Trek.
Which was crazy. Yeah.
She had never seen any Star Trek stuff.
Yep.
And then I kind of remembered Star Trek, but not a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like Star Trek, but not so.
I'm not a Trekkie or a Trekker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm just like a casual, like, oh yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, and then we got two more of these to talk about.
Yeah, that's right. So this made the least amount of money of the 80s Star Trek. Actually, that's not true, because technically the motion picture made the least amount of money of the 80s Star Trek. Oh, yeah,
that was a big bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out
following Star Wars with a fucking boring movie.
with 2 hours of, hey, this ship is cool, right? Let's do another 10-minute musical pan around.
Ship moving around and stuff. That's what kids like nowadays, right? No blasters, no lasers.
No lightsabers. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, there was no Darths.
They could have done that. They could have, I guess Gene Roddenberry probably didn't let them, but... I'm sure that there was a studio exec being like, can we just give him a sword?
Yeah, yeah. There has to have been.
A gun?
Yeah.
Like, no, phasers. Okay, but can we call it a phaser, but actually it's a gun?
Yeah, can we use a phaser that the bullet stops at the end and just leaves like a sword-like
effect? Yeah.
Yeah, effect that we can use, maybe? Star Trek should have just shown up kind of like Spaceballs. And just should have just borrowed everything from Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think that would have been fucking great if the first Star Trek movie,
people would have lost their mind.
All the lawsuits.
Although, I mean, I guess in fairness, that would have made for a very weird franchise moving forward for something that's had, what, 8 more shows?
Oh, yeah.
15 movies or whatever the fuck.
Right. I wish they would have had one.
And I mean, I guess that exact thing did happen. It was J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, where he's like, what if it was Star Trek, but Star Wars?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's...
Just missing lightsabers. Anyways.
That was Star Trek 3.
That's Star Trek 3. Then that brought us to, speaking of crazy parodies, just borrowing stuff, Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Files from Police Squad.
Yeah. This episode had jokes in it that were never going to be as funny as a movie.
That's right. So
we did a lot of just saying the jokes from the movie.
Yeah. That's always the hard thing reviewing a comedy when you're a comedy podcast. If the comedy's really good, just watch the movie, huh? I would also like to just explain/apologize if you hear a dog whining.
There's a dog now.
That's our other sponsor, Lucha the Video Store Dog, which you can follow on Instagram.
At Lucha the Video Store Dog.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely follow her on Instagram because she is adorable, but she's also whining.
She's losing her shit right now.
And
so if you're here,
pissing me off.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to the episode, but definitely go watch Naked Gun.
Yeah, if you've never seen the Naked Gun movies,
even if you have,
awesome.
Even if you have,
rewatch them. They're still awesome.
Yeah, they're really good. Even the old Police Squad show.
Oh yeah, awesome. I love the old Police Squad show. Yeah. That's one of those and Firefly, I would say, are like the ultimate one season and done cult classics.
Perfect, American show.
American shows.
Yeah. It's just a fucking joke a minute, but we do talk a lot about O.J. Simpson because
O.J. Simpson.
We do get to see O.J. Simpson get shot like 18 times. He gets run over.
That's true.
They like goes down the thing in the wheelchair. It's actually pretty fun to watch nowadays. Looking back. It's a fun thing to see. Almost like if Michael Jackson had done a comedy where he gets raped back in the 80s. And you would go back and be like, yeah, let's watch that because it's funnier now.
Yeah, because obviously when you see a guy who definitely stole his own shirts getting hurt and shot, it's very funny.
That's the thing he's guilty of.
Yeah, that's the only crime he's ever been committed.
That's the only crime he's ever been convicted of.
That's right.
So, everything else is he's innocent of.
That's right. Clearly, exactly. So the things we know about O.J. Simpson, he was one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Yeah.
He was very funny in the Naked Gun movies and definitely stole his own shirts. We know nothing else.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
But to watch him get beat up and shot at and all that stuff, still pretty fun.
It is.
This is also Ricardo Montalban, right?
That's right. He's the villain.
Yeah. Yes. So he's the villain back-to-back.
Because we're about to get to him. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's the villain in this.
That's right. Speaking of famous pop stars, you also get Elvis X.
Elvis X is her name. Yeah. They renamed her after.
They call her Elvis Sloppy Seconds.
Yeah. Because how else are you going to know who she is?
That's true.
When she's showing up trying to get free tables at the fucking restaurants.
You're just like, Elvis X?
You show her ID and it says Elvis _X.
She just shows a picture of her and Elvis's dick standing next to each other.
But not Elvis, though. But you can tell from the jumpsuit.
Yeah.
You can tell from the jumpsuit it's him. You know?
Yeah, it's very...
And it's 70s.
Bejeweled.
He's bloated a little bit.
A little...
He's getting a little gray, you know.
It's Priscilla Presley, excuse me. Priscilla Presley, yeah.
yeah, we get, which is funny that it's like she's like the romantic opposite to one Leslie Nielsen.
That's right. perpetually 70-year-old Leslie Nielsen.
Yep. Go back and watch his shit from when he was young. He's still old.
Yeah.
Even Steve Martin looked young. Just great.
A little bit, yeah.
Leslie Nielsen looked old.
Yeah, and this of course, Leslie Nielsen, Airplane, the Zucker Abrams connection was strong.
Yeah. The comedy's fucking hilarious.
And we talk about it a little bit, but Leslie Nielsen was formerly a very serious dramatic actor until Airplane, and everyone was like, that dude's fucking hilarious.
Let's put him in all the hilarious
stuff. He's now one of the biggest comedy stars in the world for the next 20 years.
Put him in a full-body condom
that
he wears.
Which make him be the umpire of a game and do all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff.
I think it's the second one.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This one does have them as a couple running through the beach, clotheslining another couple.
That's right. That's a really good bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, watch the movie.
Watch the movie. Then we get to episode 38. Tom Cruise is back for his maybe worst movie ever.
God.
It's Cocktail.
Oh my God. What a terrible fucking movie.
I know people that love this movie. They should not.
No, nobody should love this movie. It also created the fucking bartenders doing tricks with your fucking drink, which sucks. And it takes forever to get your fucking drink.
Yeah, it takes a very long time.
Because two bartenders are throwing it around.
Yeah. And worse than that, I don't know that this was ever really a thing, but it's definitely a thing in this movie is, hey, I know I have a line of 100 people trying to get a drink. Let me go ahead and just jump up on the bar and do some freestyle poetry real quick.
Oh my God.
You guys are cool with that, right? Like you can wait on your beer while I do some fucking freestyle poetry. Cause there's nothing drunk 20-year-olds love more.
There's nothing 100 drunk 20-year-olds love
than waiting for their beer while you do some fucking poetry.
Well, the guy that was tossing your fucking drink around, catching you with his hands and shit, it stops everything to yell some poetry.
God, it pissed me off a lot.
Yeah.
So the guys...
It was also the club, and they had two bartenders, and it was 148 people in that place.
Not okay.
The music was blasting, and they're just tossing shit around. Oh, my... No, there's... Also, halfway through the movie, they just go to fucking Hawaii or some shit.
That's right. They go to a beach. They go to the beach. That's where they meet Elizabeth Shue.
They get into a fight over a bitch.
That's true. They get into a fight over a girl. So Tom Cruise is just a young... He's ex-military, right? He just got out of the service.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out what to do with his life. Ends up becoming the Padawan to a scuzzy bartender.
Who's a cool guy.
Who's just picking up chicks left and right.
I can't remember the actor, but that guy's fucking
cool. That guy's very cool.
Yeah.
Just picking up chicks, pouring drinks, getting drunk every night. Yeah. Just having the life that we all want to have.
And then Tom Cruise is like, I really have like that life. This chick. You know what? I think I'm going to work on this chick. And then that dude comes in and he's like, I banged her yesterday. After you told me you wanted her.
Yeah, the minute you were like, I'm actually dating this girl for real, I was like, I'm going to swoop in.
And then he's like, I did you the favor because now you know that she's totally just, willing to cheat on you.
Exactly. She's a slut. Whatever.
I took one for the team, baby.
Yeah. I'm really the hero in this story.
Yeah. You should be on your hands and knees.
This guy's great.
Yeah, again, my hero. Yeah, then they go to the fucking beach, and then he does more.
Then he meets Elizabeth Shue and falls in love, and
he does do that awesome trick with the matches.
That's true.
Where he just like lights them and slides them down the fucking bar.
The movie has some things going for it.
It's got coolness going.
It's got Tom Cruise at like peak Tom Cruise-ness.
Yeah.
It's got Elizabeth Shue at peak Elizabeth Shue-ness.
Yeah.
It's got cool old drunk dude being a piece of shit, which we love.
The guy from the FX movies.
That's right.
About the guy who can do special effects and then fights crime that way.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but then, the movie just never really has much of a plot or comedy or...
With Tom Cruise buying his own bar.
That's right. And of course, he specifically says it's an Irish pub, actually.
Yeah, he buys that.
So you're thinking like, I don't know, Patty's Pub.
Eric.
Yeah. Patrick's, O'Malley's, O'Hanahan's. Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah.
Or even,
the Lucky Dublin or something. Exactly. The Golden Griffin, the bullshit.
Clover.
Yeah.
Like just something that has to do with fucking Ireland.
Yeah, or, I don't remember what Tom Cruise's name is, but maybe it's just Tom's,
Because
it's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That's a decent enough name.
When
you see a local pub and it's just like, Jeff's, you're like, all right, that's cool. Jeff must own that
bar. Jeff fucking bought that bar.
Yeah, cool for him,
what else
right?
is he going to call it?
Exactly.
What did he call it?
He called it Dreams and Cocktails.
Dreams and Cocktails, the Irish pub. It is.
This movie's terrible.
Yeah. It was the last insult to my love of bar hopping and stuff like that.
And I'm on the record as being a Tom Cruise guy.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And even I was like, no.
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 That was it's the stupidest name for a fucking bar.
Yeah.
It was a terrible movie. And it pissed me off because I'm a guy that likes to get a drink.
I know. This movie really should. Like, I like Tom Cruise. You know I like Elizabeth Shue.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked many times about my deep affection for Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
I love me some drinking. I love me some bartenders.
Some scuzzy bartenders.
I love me cool scuzzy guys. Bartenders. Always Sunny is one of my all-time favorite shows.
I love bartenders getting laid. I think that's cool.
That's very
good
cool.
Good job. The bartender picking up on a chick and, cool. Nope.
And yet this movie is terrible.
They fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get, going back to both Star Trek and Ricardo Montalban, it's The Wrath of Khan. That is the second of the Star Treks.
Oh, yeah, we only skipped a couple and then we...
Yeah, we went right back into Star Trek. This time we had an actual Trek fan.
Yeah, Vince.
Vince coming on board. This is, of course, everyone knows this movie. It has all of the memes. Yeah. It has William Shatner screaming to the sky. It also has the reveal of the...
Christie Alley?
Oh, wait. The reveal of the Christie Alley.
The reveal that Christie Alley's contract was not worked out
ahead of time
for the next
That's one. Why now Disney, every Marvel movie, you get like an 8-picture deal.
Yeah, for sure. Because they're like, we're not
recasting.
We're not renegotiating shit.
We're not recasting. You're locked in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unless you're Don Cheadle, then you can just come in.
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, they didn't know in the first movie.
They didn't know. They didn't know.
This had the famous Kobayashi Maru, which is referenced in like every Star Trek thing since, which is the unbeatable test that Kirk beat
by cheating
because Kirk's awesome.
And that they do it again in kind of
in
like
the new ones. J.J. Abrams, in a slightly different way, but still the basic idea is that Kirk sees a no-win situation and says fuck that,
I'm gonna cheat.
I'm gonna find a way.
I'm gonna break in and like start crossing wires and shit. I don't know if I remember correctly, he puts together a team.
He gets a high score. At first, they're like, I don't know, this seems pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
But then he flashes some sort of thing that they're about.
Yeah.
Gets them talked in.
The Mission Impossible music plays, and he puts together a heist team.
He Ocean's Eleven's it. You got Sulu. Sulu obviously is natural as like being the guy that fits inside small things.
Is because he's Asian?
Obviously, it's because he's Asian. Also, he is like a hobbit. He's a hobbit man.
He's half man.
He's a Peter Dinklage.
He also karate chops a bunch of guys, if I remember correctly.
He does karate chop many guys. There's a lot of like, oh no, we've been spotted. And then, ka!
Yeah. Although he calls it karate.
He does, yes.
Because, you know.
And
then they put together, there's a sexy chick in there somewhere.
Uhura obviously does sexy chick stuff. Spock eats a lot for some reason. It's just a choice. A choice he made.
I don't remember if Vulcans eat.
And also, Vulcans definitely eat. And also,
Spock eat?
I mean, yes.
Like, sit down and have a meal with them?
Yeah.
I think he just absorbs orbs.
He may just absorb orbs. You're right. I don't know that we ever do see Spocky. I'm sure at some point in the original series.
We see him eat something. There has to have been an episode where they go to a weird planet and they're like, you have to eat this or they're going to find it like offensive. Kind of like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom.
Right.
And then Spock
eats monkey brains.
Yeah.
Yeah, and scorpions and stuff.
Yeah. But then they put together the heist. Chris Pine's in it, if I remember correctly.
Chris Pine's definitely in it.
Yeah.
He's very young at the time, though. He plays the short round character.
It was a long con. That's how they do the duel.
Exactly. They know that it's going to pay off eventually. Yeah. Exactly.
That's a thing I feel that's going to happen now. I feel like there's a movie. I mean, like Boyhood, kind of. But there's something. There's like the kid from fucking Iron Man 2. They're gonna make him a superhero.
They should.
10 years.
I mean, that. Why else was he at the funeral if they're not gonna bring him back and make him like Iron Man 2?
It's true. I guess Tarantino's doing that with Kill Bill.
The little girl, Vivica A. Fox's daughter.
Yeah. You should cast her again, no matter what she's doing, no matter
what she looks
high
like.
School teacher.
I mean, Terminator has shown us that always works out.
Yeah, obviously, no matter what you look like. I'd refer along. If only you would have fucking kept your shit together.
Yeah.
You could have played her the whole time.
You could have been in a lot of movies.
Instead, we got like this weird array of fucking actors and people and shit.
It's been different in every single movie. Yeah.
And they've all been completely different guys.
Yeah.
The only reason that fucking Stahl connects to to Edward Furlong is that he was a fucking addicted shit show.
That's true.
Nick Stahl ended up in the fucking crack house and shit. And I feel like, yeah, all
right. Yeah, Edward Furlong right there. Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
He was a method actor.
Yeah, exactly. I got to channel Edward Furlong's performance.
But what happened to Edward Furlong?
Yeah. I think that's probably true. Right, he's really just the best actor of his generation.
Yeah, he just took on Edward Furlong's character.
Exactly. He went deep. He went too deep.
Yeah.
You got to talk to Daniel Day-Lewis, man. You need to pull out of that eventually.
Yeah, you got to come back to real to reality, man.
Stop sending people condoms, Jared Leto.
He's played it too loose.
Yeah.
Ew. Fucking Jared Leto.
Those method people, man, they're crazy.
I know.
So yeah, this movie's fucking great, obviously.
Yeah.
We cry at the end every time. We talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we see the Enterprise crash and burn, right?
No.
Was that in the
third one? That's the third one, yeah. This one you just see Spock crash and burn.
Yeah, that's right. Spock dies.
Yeah, Spock dies. Yeah, you will always
forever. Yeah, you know, forever. He never
comes back. Do not rewind 15 minutes to hear us talk about
baby Spock.
Spock definitely comes back.
Yeah.
So that brings us to episode 40, Matthew Broderick, War Games.
Ooh, this was War Games is serious Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Serious, yes.
This is if the character from Ferris Bueller's Day Off was just fucking around with war, where like government fucking machines and shit like that.
Yeah, rather than I guess singing parades, he hacked into military databases.
Rather pretending to be ancestral, and rather than breaking his best friend's life,
he just breaks the Cold War.
It's actually pretty cool, and it's cool to watch old school hacking techniques.
It is. Yeah, he's like physically dialing into stuff.
And he's like using like tones and shit like that.
Yeah.
If you do specific tones, it takes you to this computer and shit. So he accidentally hacks into the Pentagon computer.
Right, and they have this like new system that's supposed to control like the missiles and do all these war games to make sure that the rush skis don't get ahead of us. And,
it's like it has to win all the games.
Boils down to like, hey, you know what would be terrible for literally everybody on the planet? Nuclear war.
Yeah. And also a computer that can create it on its own.
Well, that too, yeah.
It also
and then a young teenage James Cameron saw this, and a year later was somehow 30 years old and made Terminator.
Yep. A year later was 48-year-old. It also had that turn your key, sir, thing in the beginning.
Yeah. A lot of great character actors in this one.
Yeah.
It's great.
It also was a movie that made Ronald Reagan so fucking paranoid that
That's
he created
right.
like a fucking chain of government specifically to deal with hackers.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he was so fucking paranoid. And
ahead of the curve. Yeah. Ahead of the curve, Ronald Reagan, which is a thing that has never been said before.
The Gipper.
The Gipper, yeah.
The Gipper. He used to do, he was also, wasn't he the guy that, didn't he knock out Muhammad Ali one time?
That's Superman. You're thinking of Superman.
Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot that Superman smashed Muhammad Ali's jaw into a million pieces.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, four-year retired Muhammad Ali.
Who had already developed all of his later health issues.
One eternally young Superman showed up.
And showed him what for.
And he's like, I'll take you on. And then just one punch and wrecked his fucking jaw.
Yep.
Apparently not Ronald Reagan.
No.
Ronald Reagan instead cowered under his seat when he saw War Games.
That's right.
It's actually a pretty fun thrilling movie. It's cool to see all the old school hacking stuff, but all the like paranoia that came from it.
Oh yeah. This definitely fits into the classic 80s tropes of early computers are dangerous stuff. The like, you know, teenagers up to
dangerous.
Yeah. The teenager stuff, all the stuff with like obviously Russia and the Cold War, nuclear warfare and stuff like that, obviously plays a big role in this.
And the rooms are like the size of a warehouse with all these fucking bulb lights.
That's
and stuff
right.
Like that. And just go and that's like nowadays all that fits in a fucking watch.
Yep. Not even. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. And the computer is like super gigantic.
It's like the one step removed. So it's not only back then were computers huge and crazy, but then you have like a Hollywood art department being like, oh, I don't know, let's like screw some light bulbs in throw some like crazy like Frank Lloyd Wright fucking architecture in this motherfucker.
And Matthew Broderick, man, he was just trying to change his grade or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I think he was trying to impress a girl.
That's right. He's trying to impress a chick. But he was trying to change her grade.
That's right.
And getting her back. So really, he almost starts nuclear war
trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there, right, guys?
I mean, guys? At the level, yeah, exactly. At what I'm willing to do.
Yep. For especially sex, when you're that young.
When you're at that age. Yeah. Nuclear war. Actually, it's pretty impressive.
And it's Ali Sheedy, right?
It's Ali Sheedy, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, nuclear warfare.
It's super impressive. I would be pretty proud of that. I would be like, oh, yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that's almost killed everybody. But he outwits. Was it tic tac toe? Yeah, it's tic tac toe.
Yeah.
It ends in a game of tic tac toe that cannot be won or something. Right. Like that,
it's like, and it somehow teaches it that nuclear warfare will always lead to its own destruction, and it's like a stalemate.
Yeah, something like that.
It teaches it a lesson.
Yeah. I feel like they could have gone with the good old fashioned. Giving it a question that cannot be answered.
That's illogical. Illogical breaks question. It down. Yeah,
exactly.
They could have done that. Although now I want to see. So they're going to continue to make Terminator movies, even though they have not made a good one since 1992. They just can't help themselves.
No.
So in the next one, what I'm saying is, can we just have? I love Arnold. You know, I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger and the violence and the doubt and the muscles. Okay, but let's leave Arnold at home. Let's just get Matthew Broderick in here to teach Skynet
a thing or
war
two.
Bad.
Can Skynet have Skynet, Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice?
Of course it can.
Yeah, because the computer had a voice.
The computer had a voice.
It was a lady's voice.
It was, yeah. Or a soft-spoken man, maybe.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Now it has Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice.
Yeah.
But Matthew Broderick has to be like, hey, Skynet, war bad. I do not understand, like, the war, the violence. Like, no. War bad.
He does not understand, though.
But he teaches him through very exciting tic-tac-toe, which I know when you're watching a Terminator movie, what you really want to see. You don't want to see some tic-tac-toe, not robots and violence and stuff.
No. You want to see us beating the fucking giant war machine of robots through tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Through an unbeatable game of tic-tac-toe.
Maybe we have some T-800s there. But then they sit down and have to, I don't know, play like chess or something.
They put on little spectacles, like little glasses, and they're like, all right, I got this.
They put on a nice, like, a sweater vest, maybe one of those sports coats with the patches on the elbows.
Yeah, because, you know, it's chess.
Yeah.
They use a little timer thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Now I want to see Matthew Broderick beating one after the other T-800s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skinless T-800s.
Obviously skinless, yeah.
Those are the coolest ones. Just over and over again in chess until they're just like, all right, like,
war bad.
Does not compute. War bad. Does not compute. And then they become our servants. Again, like the war from the very beginning. Like
they should always be.
That's why we made robots.
That's right.
To service us.
That's right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Also see the many episodes we talked about R2-D2 having sex attachments.
Are all robots really?
Give them. I mean, why else make robots?
We do talk a lot about robot sex in this.
Because why else make robots?
Exactly, yeah.
So that leads us to episode 41. Eddie Murphy is back. It is the 1986 hit in which a Westerner, someone from America.
A sassy
Westerner with a lot of one-liners, a little smart alecky.
Yeah.
He meets a lady. He also runs into a crazy Eastern mysticism like an evil villain and a prophecy
cool Asian dudes from the
80s. A lot of cool Asian dudes. James Hong is in there, right? And a lot of cool dudes, a lot of cool action comedy. It's not the one you want.
It's not Big Trouble in Little China.
It's not the one you want.
Golden Child.
Yeah.
Also, Big Trouble in China, not on the list.
Not on the list. Travesty.
But it did not have Eddie Murphy, and there's your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is at the peak of Eddie Murphy.
This is 1986. This is peak Eddie Murphy.
The biggest star in the whole world.
Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. 48 Hours, SNL.
People can't get
Raw.
Yeah. But he's like Chinese mysticism in this one.
Yeah.
Fighting all those dudes. There's a horse face dude and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a little little boy, but that's played by a little girl, the golden child, if
that's
you will.
Right. Yeah.
And he has little magic powers.
He does, yeah. And it's connected to some prophecy or some bullshit.
But they have to get a sassy cop in there.
Yeah, you gotta get a sassy Eddie Murphy cop in there and like a sexy lady.
You think when you're a director and you score back in the 80s, you score Eddie Murphy, you think you're like, oh, why do we need a script for anymore? Eddie Murphy's just gonna do his shit.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, you just like cut out all the dialogue and stuff like that, and just like what character does Eddie Murphy want to do in this one now?
Yep.
How many gay guys can we fit in this one? How many Eddie Murphy playing a gay guy can we fit in this?
For sure.
Yeah. How many scam alecky?
Like, yeah, scam artists, con stuff.
Can Eddie Murphy do? Yeah.
I feel like
give it to Eddie Murphy. Let's see what he comes up with.
I was thinking about iRobot the other day, and that similarly is like, we're going to do this movie about something that has nothing to do with, like, you know, cop stuff or murder or whatnot. Who do we get as the main character? Smart aleck cop.
Yeah, sure. Will Smith.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out.
But Will Smith doesn't have the improvisational chops.
That's true. That's true. He does have rap skills, but...
Yeah, he's got rap skills that pay the bills.
That pay... Yeah. That's right.
In fact, too. Most of them are about, you know, being nice to your school and parents and stuff like that.
And dancing in a cool manner.
Yeah.
In a cool but respectful manner.
Yeah. There's specific things that he tells you to do in the song.
That's true.
But not anything like too offensive or sexy.
That's right.
He's never like pop that pussy or anything like that. No, he's more like, you know, nod your head.
Yeah, nod your head.
I feel like we were all like, we've been doing that to rap songs for 40 years, dude. Like,
he's like, no, like, but now. Years.
But now, you know.
Now it's okay.
Now men in black suit's coming now.
Yeah, now, exactly. Yeah. Find aliens over here. Nod your head.
Yeah, nod your head. You're like, all right. Yeah,
I guess aliens, sure.
I'll give you the number one fucking spot on Billboard for 3 weeks. Sure.
Yeah, why not? for telling us to do exactly what we've been doing to music forever.
Yeah, I'm also mad that Tommy Lee Jones could abide his tomfoolery where he could not abide Jim Carrey's tomfoolery.
Yeah, he's less tomfool.
Yeah, I mean, Will Smith is less tomfool, but... Yeah. He's also, again, rapping and shit. And I feel like Tommy Lee Jones...
He's not a rap guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have the first movie, and it's a big hit, and they have the songs a big hit, Men in Black, and Here Come the Men in Black, and all that stuff. How cool would it have been? Part two, we're like, no, Tommy Lee, you're doing a country song.
Oh, my God. But he does like a sad, like, country strong level of song.
Well, and also, like, Tommy Lee Jones, it's either the second or the third one he dies in, right? In the third one, doesn't he die?
Yeah, he dies in the third one, yeah.
So if the third one was just a death song, it's like fucking, like his last ride kind of song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tears in the aisles.
Yeah,
exactly what you want to end a fun action, sci-fi comedy.
Sci-fi action Will Smith movie.
It's just a sad Tommy Lee Jones talking about death.
Especially in the way that movie plays out, because it's like Tommy Lee Jones just disappears.
Oh, could it be a duet between Tommy Lee and Josh Brolin?
Oh, shit. That's right. Josh Brolin
plays young Tommy Lee.
Oh, my God. Why haven't we heard Josh Brolin? Why didn't Josh Brolin do a song as Thanos?
Oh, God. That would have been awesome.
He should.
Especially at the end of part two when he's sitting there in the fucking fields and everyone's dead. If it just ended with, like, you remember Two Towers ends with that sad Dawn song?
Yeah, that's right. It just
ended with sad Josh Brolin singing about fucking killing half the universe.
Or in the beginning of part two when they show up and they cut his head off.
Yeah.
When he's sitting in that and his arm is fucked up.
He could have just been like sitting there playing guitar
instead of cooking shit. He's just playing a space guitar and singing a space country song.
Oh, God, we're making the Marvel Universe so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
There's a reason Endgame's not nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, it's because no Josh Brolin Thanos sad field song.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think we're done. So that brings us to the last episode for today. It's episode 42. Speaking of Tommy Lee. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones, Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, is that
the Loretta Lynn movie starring Sissy Spacek as the aforementioned Loretta Lynn? And
Tommy Lee Jones as her husband.
So the fun fact about this movie.
Yes. I mean, fun in quotations.
Fun in quotations. So Loretta Lynn and Tommy Lee Jones are
Golden Child. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about Golden Child.
Anyway. Fun fact.
Tommy Lee Jones plays her husband.
If we spell fun differently,
P-H-U-N,
technically it doesn't have to be fun.
That's true.
All right.
It's inspired by a fun story.
Yeah, exactly.
Inspired means nothing.
No.
So they play husband and wife in this movie, and it's a complicated relationship.
It is.
They got their ups and downs and some physical and emotional abuse on both sides.
When this movie came out, they were like 52.
And they were very much still married
much
and went
married
to the premiere together.
And in the movie, he rapes her like three times.
<That's> not funny, but true.
And she's like 13.
Yeah.
Like,
so they get married when she's like 13 and he's out of the military, so he's got to be at least like 24.
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, I guess that was okay. It's coal mining country. It's like the middle of Kentucky and like 1940, so whatever.
Yeah, so you know, you just marry the butcher or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Where the fuck is coming along?
And he was a charming dude with a Jeep, so you know.
You can't turn that down. He had a Jeep. Yeah. Her dad was super abusive, right?
And they were super, super poor and had like 18 children.
It was like 18 of them, and they lived in like a shack.
At that point, you're just dirt farmers. You want to leave when like whatever anyone comes around and is like, I will take you. You're like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like the guy came by in a Jeep. A Jeep, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Like four of the daughters jumped in there. Yeah, that's right. She's just the one that didn't fall out through the fucking
the dunes and the fucking forest that they drove through.
Yeah. It's a crazy movie, but it's really good.
It's a really good movie.
And it's about her becoming like...
Yeah, she's a huge star, and I love Loretta Lynn. Her music is great, and you get a lot of Loretta Lynn songs in this, and Sissy Spacek... pretty damn good and pretty damn good performer.
And Tommy Lee Jones, we talk about this on this episode, but Tommy Lee Jones is such a piece of shit and at the same time being such a fucking good guy.
Yeah.
Like, he treats her like shit. He doesn't treat her super like shit, but he does treat her bad. He cheats on her. He drinks a lot.
He beats her a few times. She beats him a few times. He treats her very bad, but then he also is super supportive and, like, changes his whole life to try and support her career. And he's always willing to kick down doors at radio stations
or going to, like, every radio station to promote one fucking song.
Like, he clearly...
He creates her career.
Yeah, and has a huge passion for her and, like, loves her deeply in his own weird, like... way too controlling and abusive way.
I think that's one of the it's like he's the best husband, but at the same time being the worst fucking husband.
It's a complicated movie. It's the kind of complicated movie you don't get anymore, really.
It is, especially not when the people are still alive.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because one of the things about Bohemian Rhapsody they talked about is that the band wanted to fucking suck so much of their own dick.
Right.
They'd want to be like, no, look how cool we were.
And yeah, everyone loved us. Yeah. We were the biggest thing. When we got back together, the entire world was like, holy shit, Queen's back together, and not like, oh, that band.
Like, oh shit, that's
cool.
Yeah, that concert's on. Yeah. That's pretty cool. No, instead it was like people were
dropping plates and like they were about to launch the nukes in Russia. And they were like, wait, Queen's back together? Never mind.
There's 14 shots of people not killing themselves because of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Suicide is gone.
Yeah, there's a part where when the concert is playing and like all the Ku Klux Klan guys are like running and they're about to
lynch a guy and then instead they hug and embrace. All of them,
and they watch the whole fucking concert.
They watch the whole thing.
Hugging each other.
Yeah, they burn the Ku Klux outfits and they become ministers and promoting, I don't know.
They're pushing voting.
Yeah, voting rights. They're protecting them when they're going to the polls.
In the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, that's what happens. Also, at one point, Freddie Mercury, if I remember correctly, hits Muhammad Ali so hard that he shatters his jaw into 1,000 pieces.
That's exactly how Bohemian Rhapsody ends, and that's, of course, why he wins the Best Actor.
Rami Malek wins Best Actor
for that.
Because the movie ends with him killing Muhammad Ali's
jaw in 1,000 pieces.
Yep.
So that's the end of the episode. We'll be back next week with more of this craziness. So remember, we're getting very close to the end of our 80s countdown. So if there's a 1980s movie that you just have to have us talk about, let us know. Facebook, Instagram, we're Blockbuster Nostalgia. We're also blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com if you want to shoot us one of them emails. We always appreciate it.
Yeah.
And remember to rate, subscribe, all that. We're everywhere podcasts can be found. Tell your friends. So until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Grandin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.